Moncrief on News Talk.
I'm delighted to say Barbara and Declan are back with us once again for So You Think You're an Adult.
We're back. Yes,
he's back from his holidays.
The two of you have been...
We haven't seen
each other. We've been up to coordinate our holidays, but you know, people were starting to talk about us, so we thought the intelligent thing would be to take our holidays at separate times.
Okay.
We're like the British royal family. We're not allowed to take air flights together in case...
In case the
problems of the world don't get resolved because we're no longer around.
That would be...
News Talk insist we travel separately.
Yeah. You know what they pay for it, I need to point out.
No, God, no.
Right. I'm in my early 30s, and after years in a miserable sexless marriage to a husband who controlled and belittled me, I'm finally free. The best way I can describe it is that I feel like I've escaped from prison. Since separating, I've started sleeping with two men I work with. They know I'm separated, but they don't know about each other. They're friends, although not particularly close, and we all work in a very male-dominated industry where there are only a handful of women in the office. In all honesty, I think I'm falling in love with one of them, but he's told me he doesn't want a relationship. The other guy is a bit of a F-boy, and he's good in beds, and so I didn't feel bad about keeping it casual with him. But lately I've noticed he calls me on weekends asking me to go on dates and do sober things together. And I think he actually might have feelings for me. My one close girlfriend in the office has said I need to end things with both of them before it gets messy and people get hurt. She also thinks that if I get out in the office, that if it gets out in the office, that I'll be called a slag or my reputation will be tarnished. But to be honest, I feel like this is a crap sexist view and that lads do this sort of thing all the time. I don't generally like casual sex or hookups. But it feels like but it feels great to have two guys on the go that I know and trust. I'd like Barbara and Declan's view. I'm not sure what her problem is,
That's exactly what I thought when I read this. I said, view on what? Like, what is she actually asking us here? I'm still not 100% sure. Because when you read this letter, there's a kind of an air of exuberance about it, you know, which is fine. And I understand that this woman, as she said herself, is coming out of years of a miserable sexless marriage and she's now free. So I understand the exuberance and I applaud her freedom. And I'm wondering, in her subconscious mind, is the fact that she was in a sexless marriage, does she subconsciously think she's got some kind of sex quota that she needs to reach, you know, to make up for the sexless years?
There's a sex quota?
I must
look that up.
Yeah.
I don't know.
What's your number?
Let me know.
It's got a body count.
But it does seem that now maybe some of the exuberance is beginning to wear off from her kind of what she had was kind of a hookup mentality around this. And I think that's starting to change now because she started, for two of the three people. Mm. She started to develop feelings for one of the fellas, and the other fella, as she thinks, started to develop feelings from her. So taking her thinking that she might be falling in love with one of the fellas first, I think that means that her mindset is starting to change away from the hookup excitement of, you know, having two fellas on the go at the same time. And maybe she's now looking for a relationship. Maybe she's now looking for something more than just the casual kind of hookup thing. And so I think she needs to think about that, because if that is the case, then she needs to stop with the casual hookups and she needs to maybe look at actually dating, you know, probably going on websites or whatever. As for the other guy, like, if she thinks that he's starting to develop feelings for her and is looking to go out on what sounds like dates as opposed to kind of just getting together, she needs to put him wise before he gets hurt. You know, she needs to say, look, I'm not into anything else. So, you know, the hookup is grand and other than that, I'm not interested, so that he doesn't get hurt down the line. But I would say to her, I sense from this, like, congratulations for the fact of having two of the fellas. That's great.
I know.
But I think now maybe you need to move on, because I get the feeling from the letter, and as I say, I'm still not sure what I've been asked about, but I get the feeling from the letter that you're actually looking for something more, specifically with this one guy. So I think you need to change your mindset from hookups to dating.
Yeah.
What
yeah,
do you think,
Declan? No, I do. Well, here's my view. Look, yeah, I do agree with what you said, but I also think that what's going on here isn't just about the dilemma about which guy should she be with and which what does she feel about, you know, whether it's a hookup or whether there could be something more long-lasting going on there. I think it's to do with the fact that she's doing this at work, where even even if something...
Well, presumably not at not work. At work but we are, but maybe she is. Maybe that's the problem.
But she, the people that know about the situation, but not necessarily about each other, are the two guys who are colleagues, plus her friend at work who know about this. And she's mentioned reputational damage. And that's the kind of thing that I think is at the core of it. That on one level, she's going... free at last, free at last, I'm now free. And she's kind of having her, you know, sowing her wild oats and having a good old time. But then she's also going, well, but that is not sustainable, because at some stage the guys are going to find out about each other, and then their reaction is an unknown quality. Then finally, then there's the, what is everybody going to say about me? And what, you know, does that... she has all the cards in her hand now. She has all the options. She can do whatever she likes, but that's not a... a forever scenario. So I think she knows that whatever she's playing with right now is...
is that kind of sexist, Declan?
Why?
Thinking, would a fella worry about his reputational damage if he was hooking up with two different women in the office?
That I'm not talking about...
He mightn't worry about it, but if it came out, it would damage his reputation.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, but he would damage it, because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter whether or not... it depends on who you're talking about and who he's talking to about it, and what somebody's reaction is. Like, if there was a guy having a fling with two women in the same office and they found out about each other after the fact, they wouldn't be happy.
Just, I don't get this now. And I know I'm way out of touch, right? Mm. It's been a long time since I've worked in an office. And in my day, you could go out with everybody in the office and that was fine. So I
and you worked where?
Yeah. Oh, it's closed down. Yeah. It's closed
We generally did it one at a time now, rather than this kind of crack. But
that's the difference, Barbara. One at a time is different. But that, you know, but sequentially is not the same as synchronous.
No, but what I'm trying to establish here for my own self
is
this whole thing of hooking up with somebody, in other words, just having sex with somebody and no relationship, you know, nothing else. What's the problem?
So the problem, well, you know, there isn't a problem. Look, it's about where you go on from this thing. And if it's just the awkwardness of the situation. You're at their mates, they're at the tea room, and now, you know, you're with him and now you're with him and now you're trying to go...
But you're not with him, you only had sex with him. You're not with him as in you're not in a relationship.
The scenario seems to be that one of them, the wrong one of them, is developing feelings for her while she's developing feelings for the other guy. And it's this kind of weird love triangle at work. And it's not even whether it's right or wrong from an ethical point of view. It's whether or not it's like it has the potential to just become really disastrous. It's like bringing, you know, fireworks to a petrol station.
What is your advice?
Maybe. She doesn't know if either of these guys, especially the guy who's having feelings for her and he's a bit of a boyo, he might be having sex with somebody else.
That's exactly.
It could be a love tetrahedron for all they know.
Right.
It could be going
because everybody is the main player or the kind of star of whatever scenario they're in. And she's making herself the main character. Because she feels like she has all the... that's what I meant about the cards in her hands.
Yeah.
She thinks she has all the cards in her hands. But the reality is, life doesn't work like that. And there'll be, something will happen to change that dynamic with or without her action.
So what are you saying? She should walk away from both?
I'm saying that the problem isn't about the situation she's in. The problem is that she doesn't know what she wants. And she doesn't know...
which is basically what I was saying.
Yeah,
well.
She doesn't know what she wants.
My sense was what she wanted was the way things were before she had feelings for one of them and the other one had feelings for her. She was enjoying just the, I'm writing to you guys in the office.
And she loved that, because then she was able to say, sure, like you said, Barbara, if men did this, it'd be great. What are you looking at me for? And that's fine and good, you know, and that's yay for the equality of that situation. But it isn't necessarily, and here I sound like advocating for trad wives or something, but it isn't necessarily what she wants. Because I think what is actually happening as time goes by, it's inevitable
your
your F buddy turns into either somebody you never want to see again
or somebody
that you have
really
a bit more feelings with, or, you know, you want to go and hang out with.
The guy who she's developing feelings for, should she tell him how she feels?
So, as far as I'm concerned, I think that the situation is a fun situation that if she wants it to develop into something else, I think the first step isn't to go forward faster, it's to step back a little bit and just go, is this really what I want? Has this situation just become a little bit of a drama storyline in a soap opera that I'm enjoying? Or is this really where I want to go with my life? Because, you know, the other thing that's working in parallel with this is that's where she works. Yeah. And so if the whole thing goes to, you know, shit, that she's going to be like in a situation where she has to face off with all these people, including the people that they tell. And that's just going to be, that's a different plate to spin, you know?
Yeah, and that's possibly a point here. Somebody is texting it to say, I'm pretty sure I'm one of those two guys. I'm sleeping with a girl in the office, just separated, and I know she's seeing another guy in the office already. But you can let her know I got the hint that she doesn't want anything serious.
Wow.
Wow.
Oh, so he's the guy with the feelings.
I'm not sure. Yeah, he could be the guy with the feelings.
Oh, bless.
You see, the thing is,
if see, all this
he knows about the other guy.
Here?
Which means how many other people know about this?
Is the call coming from inside the house?
No, they're all boring out there. Anyway, most of them are pregnant. So,
oh, no.
She needs to finish with both guys, as the guy she feels she has feelings for isn't interested in having a relationship, so she needs to get out and date people outside of the office or see people outside of the office. Now, if a guy texted in, you would accuse him of boasting.
Do you think, though, that there's nothing wrong with that as a short-term kind of thing? I'm having a good old time, you know, sowing me wild oats. That's great, but I don't think that's a lifestyle that I'd advocate for somebody.
And
as
it's also not sustainable.
Because it's boring.
Yeah,
it's not boring. Who cares?
Yeah,
So I think from that point of view, I would say, take a step back, think about what it is you actually really want and whether you really want to be doing that on your own doorstep at work.
Yeah, somebody says, this reminds me of a similar situation I found myself in. I met another guy in the George 3 years ago. We hooked up a few times and I was beginning to catch feelings for him. It can be an awkward situation, but people do need to, pardon the pun, have an have that conversation so everyone knows where they stand. We are still in contact. Yeah. Oh, sorry. I don't know what the pun was there, actually, to be honest.
Is that a pun?
Yeah.
No, sorry.
Could you resend in the pun? We didn't get that bit of it.
It wasn't in my language either. But I do agree with the idea there, which is that, you know, just being open with people is just... that's the bit that really bugs me about this, by the way, is that she isn't being honest with these people. And the true, enlightened, kind of casual sex vibe would be being very... honest with each other.
Yes, exactly.
By hiding it from each other, there's a certain element.
That's a really good point.
There's an element of kind of cheating vibes off that I don't like. You know, and that's the bit where you go, if you want to be really sowing your walls out and actually embracing that particular lifestyle, then you have to be honest with everybody that you engage with.
And you know, I think if you've been in a loveless, sexless marriage, whatever, miserable sexless marriage, it's probably done her confidence a whole lot of good, which is good. Do you know what I mean? The fact that she's got these two guys on
so it's like a palate cleanser.
But now you need to move on.
You need to skip now and move on.
It's a bit of an unfortunate, but yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure somebody said sex is never casual if you're doing it right, kind of thing. Somebody else wonders, what if there's only four of them in the office and they're listening to this now? Well, that would be an electric conversation to be having.
Quick, turn off the radio, Blonde.
Yeah, I hate that session. She's giving it to them on a plate. Both of the guys and most of the office already know about it. I work there. That's the second person. No, you don't. I'm going to... Do you know the other guy who did in?
Maybe. They're all listening to you.
You worked
out.
Are you the guy who hooked up with somebody in the George? We're totally confused.
Yeah,
There's something really funny about this whole vibe. It feels to me that this is like very... a Love Island mentality. It's like people are watching Love Island and they're thinking every situation requires dragging somebody down to the fire pit for a good old heart-to-heart or a finger-pointy session. And it's like... You don't need to do that with everybody. It's not necessary. Yeah. That's like...
Is this a generational thing? It's just like younger people. Yeah. They have to talk about everything. Just take your clothes off and shut your mouth.
In the dark.
In the dark. I'm a 31-year-old man who was out of a relationship for a few months. It was a 5-year relationship that ended amicably. The problem is that I have no friends now. Me and my ex used to hang out with her friends. Now they're gone. I tried to keep in contact with my mates from school during the relationship, but got sick of being the one suggesting meeting up. And they were always busy. And even for a walk or a coffee, they're always busy over the past few months. I feel so alone at the moment. I've tried Hyrox, paddle and sip and paint class, but no luck making friends. How do you make friends as an adult?
Yeah, I mean...
That's sad.
Yeah. It is sad. And I think that it's kind of one of the... I don't want to call it a cost, but it's one of the side effects of being in a relationship is often that what it means is that you kind of focus your energy on one relationship.
Very foolish.
And then you end up kind of losing track of the your other social support systems and everything like that. And if anything goes wrong with the relationship you're in, your partner breaks it up, you are left at sea, like this guy has discovered. And I think he's not the first man to find himself in this situation, or woman indeed. I also think that breaking up or finding yourself in this situation in your 30s or a little bit older is kind of more awkward than when you're younger. Because when you're younger and you're in your late teens and 20s, the social structures are just different. Going out to the clubs and, everything like that, it's just easier to slot into some kind of way of being with big groups of people without the kind of sad loneliness kind of making itself known too easily. I do think I need to point out, though, the trick isn't going off and finding 50 hobbies to try. That's not that, all you're doing is you're doing a little sample taste of some hobbies there. People don't become friends with you in the first 5 minutes of, bridge or squash or whatever you're trying there. Like anything, the investment is actually in kind of being there over a prolonged period of time and getting to know somebody well. And I think that's the problem here as well, is that this guy's expecting a response or a reaction or a development a little bit too quickly into his effort. Simultaneously, though, I would say that it is, if somebody doesn't, your friends who aren't coming back to you and saying that they'll meet up with you, either you're not expressing the need in a way that makes them feel responsible or guilty enough to actually show up for you, or they're just not the friends that you need. And I think that sometimes people aren't very good at distinguishing between whether or not they've asked in the right way or whether the person isn't able to give them what they want. So I think maybe go back to your original friends and kind of be a little bit more direct about, saying that, like, it's about you needing something rather than offering them a social engagement, because you're offering them something they're going to think about themselves and go, I can't because I have all this stuff on. Whereas if you say, look, I really need to talk to somebody, or I need blah, blah, then it becomes about an obligation that they will either be willing or unwilling to provide in that relationship. And then you can see that relationship for what it is. So in a nutshell, stick around with a hobby. Don't be leaving just because, the people didn't chat to you at the paddle, whatever it is. Pick one, stay a little bit longer, and also give your friends another go and see what happens. But you're not, it's a quite a common situation, though.
Is it a very male thing that men then kind of supers, the women do us all the kind of social organising and they kind of sit back.
I think women are much more, and I mean, this is a bit like closing the gate after the horse has gone off down the road. But I mean, I think it's one of the things in any relationship when you're starting out is you don't neglect your friends. And I think women are better at that than men anyway.
But I do also think that the men are much are better at picking up and also becoming best buddies with somebody they met only last week as well. So I think that there's a different kind of way in which the people click together.
Is that when he says that when he tried to keep in contact with mates from school, he got sick of them not kind of being available and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. So, but I wonder if he kind of suddenly disappeared from them because he was in a new relationship. Are they now a bit like kind of fed up with them? But I agree with you. I think you shouldn't give up on them just yet. Yeah. And I think being more honest about the fact that I'd love a chance of, a night out or whatever. I mean, I do think him trying the various different activities, he's got the right basic idea, I would say. And I had to look up what High Rocks was because I didn't know what that was.
Oh, the young people are mad into it. Yeah, some sort of thing they do instead of having sex or drinking.
Yeah, but I would imagine
before they have sex.
Is it?
I think so. Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I think so. You do your High Rocks and then you get your rocks off.
I imagine being too knackered afterwards. And you'd be sweating as well. Very unpleasant.
That's exactly the threshold. How you work out who's for you and who's not.
But while you're at it, you're out of breath as well. You can't be making conversation with people. So I think if he's going to choose activities with which to try and make friends, try and do something where you can have conversations while you're doing whatever it is. I mean, the sip and paint, maybe, but hill walking or something where you can have chats with people while you're doing
whatever. What is sip?
It's sip and paint glasses. That's where you have a glass of wine
okay.
and you paint.
Oh, right. Yeah. I thought them as two different things.
I thought I was being an idiot that I had.
No.
But so, I'd say, you know, your pursuits should be a little bit more, have more time built into them for you to get to know people. Because as you say, you don't make friends in the space of one or two sessions doing something. The other thing you could do is, I always think, is getting involved in your local community, you know, like volunteering or something like that. And the other thing which he hasn't mentioned is work. And I mean, certainly everybody I know made friends in work.
They're all having sex with each other at work.
Sure, yeah. He doesn't want to get involved in that.
Yeah. Well, in my day, you get a friends and then you get a friends with benefits. But like, yeah. But like, I'm just interested, like, does he work in his own or is there not? Because most workplaces would have a degree of a social life. And also, it's a way of getting to know people over a period of time. And that's how friendships form.
I do think that, you know, we hear a lot about it, kind of a pandemic of male loneliness. And you alluded to it there as well, Sean. But I still believe that sometimes, and it's not just a man thing, that we have such a on-demand culture that we kind of expect to get the thing that we want really quickly, almost like you're ordering a friend off Amazon, that, you know, it'll arrive within 3 days and it's all sorted. Instead, you know, it does require like a little bit of effort and a little bit of, you know, lucky accident as well, because you know that a lot of the friendships that people have, they kind of think of them as these kind of vastly spiritual things. No, you just were in the same class as each other when you were 12. Stop talking to me about them like you're some gift. You just tended to them, as you said, Barbara. You tended to them, you kept in contact, and as a result of that, it's kind of lasted a long time. But the majority of relationships kind of die in the vine. They don't last because of the choices people make.
And there is a kind of a modelling thing in that people kind of go, I think that you should have it should be like Friends, like the TV show. You should have a group of friends who all love each other and all is well and blah, blah. Yeah, and then most people don't have a friend group in that way. You know,
and the statistics with the number of friends that people have, like, you know, women tend to have groups of friends that are slightly larger than men do. But men have smaller number of people, but it's kind of like the way that the subtext of this letter is, all this guy needs is one person, probably just sit beside him in the pub having a chat, and then, you know, that would be enough. And it would, the kind of, you know, then he's able to go off, because it sounds like he's able to sustain a lot of his own kind of loneliness by himself, you know. And that's the thing, is that having too much kind of social responsibilities is the other end of this problem. And if you're running around doing stuff all the time, you kind of go, I just want my freedom, I want to be by myself. So I think there's a kind of a, you know, be careful of what
and
you're actually asking for.
And also not to become too focused every time you meet somebody. Is this my friend? Do you know what I mean? Is this person going to be my friend?
Because you're calling
like
him a weirdo.
No, I'm not calling him a weirdo, but I am saying friends take time to make. Do you know what I mean? They're not something, as you said,
unless you're in America.
One useful one, tell that lad to join Make Friends in Ireland on Reddit. We have a Talk 30 to Me chat for over 30s, and it's a fantastic group of people, 30 plus, all over Ireland. So that's a useful place to start. Someone else says, most of my married gal pals don't include me single in couples plans. Yeah. One friend, in inverted commas, recently invited only couples to a party. Another has said that couples are easier guests, i.e. two in a bed. Other friends who lost their partners, divorce, death, breakups, have fessed up that their couple friends dropped them immediately. A friend's husband said that women are threatened by single women because they have more to talk about than just kids. Okay, yeah, it could be that. 4.5 year relationship over the downturn, went out of it all. My friends had gone worldwide for work. What I found was at work at Making Friends, did martial arts and made friends that way, but I did have to work on
your
it.
Friend.
Yeah, if you can beat the crap out of
nothing, nothing says, hi,
maybe
nice
try
to meet
soccer
you.
Or GAA. Yeah. Many people you can meet, but you have to work on making friends.
And it takes time.
Indeed, just as you're saying.
You know, these kind of things where you go on hikes as well, because I'm thinking about, you know, what you said about being somewhere with people, almost being stuck with each other over a period of time where you can actually speak, as opposed to showing up and playing a game of five aside and then leaving, because you don't have, you have to have the opportunity
to have a
to exchange more than
pleasantly. Exactly.
I'm a man in my late 20s. I've been best friends with next door neighbour since childhood. We grew up together, hanging out together, going on holidays together because our mothers are best friends. We're from a very rural part of Ireland. So when we started in junior infants, we were the only two in our class and we're practically joined at the hip. Earlier this year, she moved to Dublin and I've been seeing a lot more of her. I think the dynamic between us has changed, and I definitely think I have romantic feelings for her now that were never there before. In the last few months, she's gotten into a relationship with a new lad, and he has told her he's uncomfortable with our relationship. He told her men and women can't be friends and said he knows I want more. Obviously, this is true. But when she told me, he said that I scoffed at it, and so did she. My question is, do I bite the bullet and tell her how I feel, or will that permanently damage our relationship if she doesn't reciprocate?
Oh, this is another one.
This is the plot of a rom-com,
isn't it? Is this not normal people?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, we've had kind of similar-ish things. And I mean, a bit like the other one where, you know, you have two people in a friendship and then one starts to develop feelings. And should I tell the person I'm friends with that, you know, my feelings have changed and I've started going in a different direction? And I would have always, I'm usually the one that goes, yeah, tell them. You know, it's better to find out than to die wondering, kind of thing, do you know? But in this case, this is, again, we were just talking about friendship. This is a precious friendship going back to childhood. Yeah. Now, I mean, I take your point. It's not something spiritual that was, you know, deigned by the gods, but it just is. But longevity,
it doesn't mean it isn't special.
Yeah. Longevity in a friendship is really precious. And so if he does tell her how he feels, and if she doesn't feel the same, the friendship is probably fairly damaged forever. Yeah. Do you know, it's fairly much hold beneath the waterline. But I think maybe it's that anyway, because of the fact that he feels the way he feels. Ooh. Maybe they've, you know, it's already gone to a point where he can't undo how he feels now. So maybe the friendship is irreversibly, I won't say damaged, but changed because of his feelings. So on balance, I think I would fess up and I would tell her in order to find out.
Yeah.
On the basis that possibly that could be the end of a friendship. I mean, it mightn't be. It might just put it in ice for a while. But I think I can't see any other way out of it, because otherwise his feelings, like unrequited love, is so
normally
painful.
I would be saying the opposite to you, but I'm kind of ambivalent here, because on one level I go,
what do you mean normally I'd be saying the opposite to you?
I would be saying that he's
contractually obliged to say the opposite to you.
Okay,
yeah,
right, that's
it. It's in my contract.
That's how he gets more than I do. Yeah.
Well, you know. you revealed that, Barbara, not me. Look, isn't it funny that the friend's boyfriend is the only person in that situation who's kind of being honest? Because he's the one who's saying, I see you with my eyes, he has feelings for you, and they both kind of scoffed and laughed. Whereas I think that he obviously has admitted to us in his letter that he has feelings for her now, or at least thinks he has. She hasn't said whatever, but she's the one who turned around and said, you know, why is she telling him that information?
Do you think she put him up to it?
No, I think she's just turning around to say, because she knows this is a crossroads moment, right? Because the boyfriend isn't comfortable with the close male friend for whatever territorial kind of vibe is going
ridiculous.
On.
Yeah, I know, but
that's
maybe
ridiculous.
He can just smell it off him.
Yeah,
you know,
and also reverse, maybe that's the genesis of these feelings that this guy is feeling is actually jealousy as well. So maybe it isn't real, maybe it's not real, whatever. But the girl turning around and saying, this is what my boyfriend is telling me, is an announcement of the change in their relationship. Because that's actually, because she's in a difficult position now, because she's going to have to either listen to the boyfriend or push the boyfriend back with his point.
Do you think she has,
or maybe she has feelings as well?
Oh, do you think she might have suspected that her friend now has feelings for her? And is that why she said, my boyfriend thinks men and women can't be friends?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Like, is she trying to smoke him out?
Maybe, but it's also that some people do believe that and some people don't. And I think that the instance is that if you're with somebody or you're friends with somebody who's gone out with somebody who believes that, you're in a really difficult situation. So I think, unfortunately, I think in this instance, I normally wouldn't, you know, don't tell your best friend you love them. But in this instance, it sounds like the best friend has a boyfriend in the back who's kind of gone, you can't have a male friend.
He needs a smack for that.
Yeah, but she might not give him a smack.
Yeah.
She might, you know, succumb to his worldview. In which case, I think I think ultimately in this scenario, that's what I meant. I kind of think that she should turn around. He has to come clean. Yeah, but don't blame us if at all.
Unanimous decision there, Sean.
It is a unanimous decision from all the listeners as well. Everybody says
they're
he should go for it.
Even though,
because as you said, it's probably damaged either way.
That's what I'm saying. So he's kind of the relationship has changed utterly, and perhaps the terrible beauty has born.
Or perhaps he tells her, and she says, "You know what? I've started to have these feelings for you as well." And then they get together, and then they realize, "Nah, we didn't really want this at all." And then the relationship is doomed.
But by then they're married and they have three kids, so you know.
Yeah. and their families live next door to each other in a field in the middle of nowhere. And when they get divorced, that's going to be tense. Sorry, just, you know, fleshing out the possible scenarios.
Life is hard.
As one tech, and this is for our older listeners, Jeannie Mack. All these relationships are so complicated. God be with the days when Frankie Byrne did her agony aunt job and everything was solved by playing a Sinatra tune. Barbara and Declan, thank you both very much.
Thank you.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.